All right, listen up. This is Hoxton on Audio Boom. Get your ears working, people.
Hello, and welcome to Double Tap, Audio Boom's official gaming podcast. I'm Alice Taplin, and this week I'm joined by James Cook, owner and founder of IGR Esports, to talk about Insomnia 56. Insomnia is one of the UK's biggest gaming festivals, and every year features a great lineup of special guests, esports tournaments, panels, exhibitions, and more.
Yeah, it was a really good event. I've been to Insomnia before, which was held at the Rico Arena in Coventry. That was I-51. And it's an event that I've really wanted to go back to. I personally own an esports organisation called IGI Esports. We basically send teams to events to compete against other teams for prizes. This can be for any title such as Counter-Strike Go, Call of Duty, or Hearthstone as an example. And the other reason for attending I-56 was because it's not just a tournament event, it's actually an expedition as well. So there are people showcasing games, there's companies selling t-shirts and various other stuff.
So what games did you have there this year that people were competing in?
For us, we was competing in the Counter-Strike Go and Hearthstone tournaments.
How did those go?
Yeah, it was good. We had a great start in Counter-Strike Go. We won our first match, and then we got drawn against the top seed in the bracket. The team actually lost quite heavily in the second match.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, not so good. But the third match was really, really close. We unfortunately lost that as well, and we ended up losing in the group stages. But we also had a Hearthstone player there who did absolutely fantastic.
It is said that wars are only won upon the anvil of honor.
Others believe victory requires strategy and a mastery of power.
War is deception. A game played best from the shadows.
Only strength and raw power can assure total dominance.
But of course, you could forget all that. And just have fun! Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
There was a qualifying event on the Friday for a championship called the True Silver Championship with a $30,000 prize fund.
Wow.
And he managed to qualify for that championship on the Saturday, Sunday. Amazing. So he did really well. He ended up losing in the group stages, but he did fantastic.
And obviously, you might also be competing against other people who have maybe been playing for like years more than you or have more experience, I guess.
That's right, yeah, definitely. There are some teams that turned up at I-56 who have been playing for years and who have been competing at the highest level as well. So although our players have competed at other events, the standard was quite high at Insomnia 56.
So how do you think since I-51 it's grown?
Moving to the NEC in Birmingham, just recently, that's been a massive help for them. I believe that the event was run a lot more smoothly. They definitely had a lot more stuff in the expedition area, and just in general seemed to be very, 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 very good event.
And so what sort of stuff did they have in the exhibition area? Like, what was the kind of coolest things that you saw?
Okay, so in the expedition area, they had a huge main stage. And then throughout the day, on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, they would have, I'm not sure if you're aware of them, ex-Hollyoaks stars, Max and OB, Matt Littler and Darren Jeffries, I think their names are. And they'd basically host the event on the main stage.
Okay.
And they'd bring out companies for talks. Then they'd have some YouTubers live on the stage as well. So YouTubers such as Diamond Minecart, who I think's involved in the Minecraft scene.
Yeah.
So they get like people on stage and they have little games and stuff. It's quite interactive and quite good. They also have some Guinness World Records that were broken at the weekend on the main stage as well. So that was quite cool. In the Expedition Hall, they had a giant galleon, which was there from a company called Game.
Yep.
They basically themed it around a galleon with a counter. It's like basically a game store, but they had like hidden treasures in there as well.
That's
so
cool.
Anybody could just walk in and have a look around. Yeah. Virtual reality headsets. There was an indie zone which featured games from small independent franchises. These companies are not like your typical Codemasters or Rare or Nintendo.
Yeah.
These are small little companies who make very small games for next to nothing in costs.
And do you think it's important to kind of have these quite large events that have these smaller indie developers and indie games there? Because obviously it can be quite hard, especially, you know, now the games market is growing, to kind of get your stuff out there and get people playing it.
I agree, yeah. It's not until just recently that Xbox One and PlayStation 4 have really got involved in the indie scene. And they're supporting it a lot more as well. So we should see some interesting and new variety of games coming out as well for people to play. I think it's a great idea.
Why do you think overall, I mean, I know you just spoke about indie developers, but overall for like the games community, why do you think that these sort of events are important?
I think it's good for social gathering. It's useful for people to come together. Gamers play online all the time. They get to know people online, but they don't necessarily ever meet them in person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great way of meeting new people and sharing your experiences.
And why do you think that these sorts of events are becoming more popular?
Gaming is growing incredibly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean, it used to be really a lot of male people playing games, but now you see a massive influx of female gamers, which is great to see. And the age ranges has changed from when I first started playing as well. You'd really only see people aged between 10 and 25. Now it can be any age, really. You see older generation in their 30s, 40s playing games, even at a high level competitively.
And so you think that like these events may be, despite people's differences, that they can all kind of get together and enjoy games with each other as well?
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Decisive words indeed. We'll hear more from James about IGR Esports and the growing popularity of competitive gaming in a couple of weeks, so make sure you check back. And now, the gaming news. A man was hit by a car while playing video games in his home last Sunday. Ben Rose was playing Fallout 4 when a Hyundai Sonata came crashing through his wall, fracturing his vertebra and slicing his Achilles tendon. He credited his gaming chair with saving his life, saying it took the impact, pushed me out of the way, and kept me from going under the car. Hideo Kojima has spoken about his time with Konami and his future as an indie developer. The Metal Gear Solid creator, who had a less than amicable split with the production company, told The New Yorker, "When working in big companies, especially Japanese companies, every little thing has to be approved beforehand and you need paperwork to do anything. Now that I'm independent, I can do what I want with much more speed. I don't need to invest in unnecessary presentations. I shoulder the risk." Sony announced earlier this week that it would be partnering with Kojima's new company, Kojima Productions, on its first game, which will debut on PlayStation 4 with a later release on PC. A substantial minority of American adults believe that there is a link between playing video games and real-life violence, according to new research by the Pew Research Center. The data shows that 40% of adults asked agreed with the statement that people who play violent video games are more likely to be violent themselves, while 53% disagreed with the statement, and 7% said that they don't know. The research also showed that women are more likely to agree that there is a link between these behaviours, whereas men and young adults are less likely to agree. LGBT issues are something that are often overlooked in the video game world, but one company seems to be setting out to change all that. GamerX creates a safe space for gamers of all identities, with its main focus being on queer-related gaming topics. I had the pleasure of talking to Tanya DePass, diversity liaison at GamerX, about what the event is all about and more on being LGBT in the gaming world.
So GamerX is a convention with both video games and tabletop that is focused on LGBTQIA gamers, because a lot of spaces we have to kind of hide ourselves to be safe. And this is a weekend where you can be yourself and share your love of gaming, your love of tabletop, cosplay, meet a bunch of other gaming geeks as well. And, you know, it's a very welcoming place to be at.
You've had your third GamerX event this year. How did that go?
It went very well because, you know, Jennifer Hale, who voiced Commander Shepard, was there, as well as people who voiced in Telltale's Wolf Among Us and the lead voice actress from Gone Home. And I feel terrible because I'm blanking on her name, but I know her first name is Selma. And a gentleman who's known for voicing mostly villains in games, as well as Samus Music playing her concert at the end of Friday night. It was just amazing.
This is the story of a lost little girl growing into a woman in search of love and acceptance across the universe.
So the Kickstarter back in 2012 for GamerX, it got over $90,000. So why do you think that it was so popular?
Because people, you know, to use an American colloquialism, were thirsty for a space where they could just be themselves for the weekend. You know, I could go into this gaming space and not have to worry about if I had a girlfriend and brought her with me, bringing her with me, holding her hand, being affectionate, and not have to worry about the abuse or like dude bros or something. And especially like for gay and bi men who maybe can't have that in both in daily life or in digital life. It was finally a place to make our own.
Just walk through for the listeners especially what some of the issues are that are faced by LGBT gamers.
Representation is a good chunk of it, because again, we don't get to exist kind of naturally in the gamescape. If you're there, you often have the tragic queer trope, or you don't get to exist as a fully realized person, or sometimes you don't survive the game. So I think it's, you know, having authentically written characters, fully fleshed out characters.
And how about because I often find that when you get gay male characters, often obviously the phrase is, oh, well, they're, you know, pushing their sexuality onto us. But I often find that when you get gay female characters, people almost seem to kind of refuse to accept that they are gay in a way. And I remember when they had the DLC for The Last of Us and they made Ellie, I don't think they ever confirmed that she was a lesbian, but she kissed her friend, who was also a girl. And a lot of other people were like, well, she's only 14 in the game, so, you know, she can't be gay because she's only 14.
Hey, so I said it like an asshole, but I totally meant it. You should go. I mean, this is something that you've wanted for, you know, forever, so who am I to stop you?
The one person that can.
I just wonder what it is with people consistently refusing to accept when characters are gay, especially female characters for some reason, or they can't.
Right. Because, I mean, a lot of us knew earlier than 14 that we weren't straight. I'm a huge BioWare nerd.
Okay.
And, you know, people that were just so angry that they couldn't, like, romance Sarah in Inquisition. And people actually made mods for this to be possible. It's like this idea that, you know, the very real thing we see where if a woman can't be objectified and commodified in real life, some men will get very angry. And they will, you know, this is how it turns into stalking, things like that. And we see that digital equivalent when people are very angry they can't romance a video game character.
So, you've been chatting me up. I heard that, yeah? And seen the looks. That's all fun and such, out there walking around. But maybe there's more in your head. Like you want to be more? I mean, you're good on the eyes. Fun. It could go pretty good if the human thing works out.
We know that, you know, in film and TV and things, people are always like, oh, well, in order to have more women or in order to have more people of colour or in order to have more gay people, we need those types of people, you know, making the games or mm-hmm. making the films. The same applies to games as well. So, you know, how important is it that people who go to things like GamerX and want to be involved in video games do that and follow through with their kind of wishes to be involved and then, you know, be out and make games with queer characters in?
Being out, especially if you're a streamer or someone who writes about games or is in the industry, is a lot harder because you never know how people react. Some people may be like, oh, okay, that's cool, whatever, now get back to programming. Mm. And other people may be like, oh, that's gross, I don't want anyone gay working on a game I like. So you just never know. But involvement in the community is vital. You know, when something doesn't sit right with you in a game you just spent $70 on, or, you know, or 70 pounds on, you know, write about it, tell people about it, engage with the developers, you know, because my money is just as green as anyone else's, or multicolored, depending on where you live.
Yep. Purple.
Yeah. Purple, green, blue. So if you're someone who came to GamerX, someone think about coming to the next GamerX, or I should say GX, not GamerX. Think about panels. Think about what you would have gone to that didn't happen this year. You know, if you're someone who streams or someone who makes games or wants to get into gaming, you know, propose a panel, ask to be on panels, you know, find other people that share your interest and propose a panel together. Because any convention, not just GX, the lifeblood of it is the programming, but we need people to submit it. You know, it's early to think about, but a lot of people leave a con, they're energized, they want to do all this cool stuff. So, you know, start a Google Doc, write down ideas for panels you'd love to see. And then when the call for submissions opens up, get them in early and, you know, create the conference you want it to be. So just think about these things and engage the media critically, because we all want this to be an art form, because for so many games, there's components of it that will reach out and touch you. And for many people I know, they said games have literally saved their life. For mm-hmm. a medium to have that much power, we need to make sure it is elevated to the art form it could be.
Mm. I find it quite interesting from a personal perspective, because I obviously, you know, as women in games, we're often described as girl gamers or female gamers. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, women in games all the time going on in the gaming world. But I personally have never been described as a gay gamer, and my sexuality never usually comes up. And I don't know whether that's a British thing or whether it kind of says something as a whole about how often LGBT issues are or are not talked about in gaming communities.
I think they're talked about more, definitely, but there's, you know, as always, there's pushback. Mm-hmm. There's pushback about, you know, why do you have to make it about your sexual orientation, things like that? Why can't we just all be gamers? Mm-hmm. When a lot of the content that we get the privilege of paying for, we don't get to see ourselves. We don't get to see ourselves represented very well. But it's talked about more. I mean, there are certain critics that are doing a lot more. Catherine Cross, who writes for Gamma Sutra and several other places, you know, brings this up quite a bit. She actually just had a lovely piece about the polyamory in Fallout 4. And Jim Sterling, who's actually in the UK, just did a piece about it as well. So I think it's happening more, maybe more here, but there's such a glut of coverage mm-hmm. that things specifically covering LGBT issues in gaming doesn't get the spotlight that a lot of other major publications do.
And with GamerX now, it's an American event, but do you think that it could kind of go worldwide?
Yes, actually, there will be a GamerX Australia or GX Australia in February.
Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. If you want to find out more about IGI Esports and get involved with them, head over to igi-esports.com. For more information about next year's Insomnia Festival, you can check out their site, insomniagamingfestival.com. And lastly, for more information about GamerX, head over to GamerX.com. That's GAYMERX.com. Join me next week for our Christmas special, where I'll be chatting with Jeremy from the 8-Bit Geek once again, this time about all things gaming at Christmas. See you then.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production written and presented by Alice Taplin.